Thank you, ensemble. What a blessing. I tell you, the music, beautiful tonight. What a blessing it's been. And I've enjoyed that. Praise the Lord. I've got a note here from Brother John's. Abundant Pardon Prison Ministry conducted two services this afternoon at CCNO Correction Center of Northwest Ohio. Saw a total of 12 trust Christ as Savior. Praise the Lord. And that is good. Praise the Lord for that. All right, is this on? I always forget to turn it. Yes, it is on. Okay, very good. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 13. Exodus 13. Where's Ben? Ben? Potter. There he is, back there. Excellent offertory. Amen. That was a blessing. I'll tell you, that was such a blessing. And orchestra, always very much a blessing. And actually, we've had now requests for the orchestra to play a special. And so you need to work on that, all those in the orchestra, and we're looking forward to a special. I won't do like I did with Abigail, where we just say, all right, orchestra, come on up, and let's play. We won't do that, but I know you can handle that, right? Yes. Anyway, praise the Lord. Exodus 13, and of course, Abigail, that was a blessing to hear you play again. And I was wondering when the children's choir was up here, did we start that when you came on staff as well, or did we start that before? I know it was right, but maybe the Albaricos right in that time. And it was within a year after I came and we started all the different choirs. And it just is so exciting to see where it's gone. And you know, I Keziah and Gabby playing this morning. I remember when Abigail started with them. And I'm sure she does too, and it was exciting, and you know, just good music. You cannot replace it. You need it, and it's so important. And I appreciate everyone who takes part in our music program. It takes a lot of time to practice, and it takes a lot of time to prepare. It took Abigail 5 minutes, but no, I mean it does, and she's obviously worked on that song before. And Alicia had to get up and play too. I forgot about that other part of it, but and Kelvin, he. Well, anyway, but he's very musically inclined. He leads singing at our Senior Saints, and he leads singing at Vacation Bible School, and with the bird. But I do appreciate it. And you need to, you know, the little yellow cards. Write a little note to someone who sings a special, someone who plays a special, someone who because they've put time and effort into that. And they're letting God use their talent, their ability, and I trust that you'll do that. It's always an encouragement to folks to get those. Exodus 13, 17, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war." Now, the repentance there is not a repentance from sin. That's a change their mind about leaving Egypt. It's a different kind of repentance here. But that's what repent means. He says, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. In other words, he said they're not going to go through the land of the Philistines because there will be war. They'll see war and they'll want to go back to Egypt. And so he said, we're not going to go that way. And so verse 18, "But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness." So instead of war, God led them to wilderness. Instead of going right into the fighting with the Philistines, God said, we're gonna go ahead and send them to the through the wilderness first. And it says, "The way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you." And so they're leaving Egypt, and there's been a great victory. The Bible says Pharaoh let the people go. But the nearest way to go, the easiest way to go, would have been to go through the land of the Philistines. And God said, wait, I'm not going to lead them that way. And God said, because if they go through the land of the Philistines, even though that's near, even though that's the closest way to go, God said, I'm going to send them a different way. I'm going to send them through the wilderness of the Red Sea because I do not want them to face the war with the Philistines right now. I don't want them to face. They're not ready for that war. And if they face that war now, they'll go back to Egypt. They'll want to go back. They're going to want to go back anyway, and we see that in their history. But if they see war, they're going to want to go back. And so I've entitled the message tonight, When They See War. And Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching tonight, that you'll speak to our hearts. And Lord, I know that there are many wars in our lives. And I thank you, God, that you have a plan that prepares us for each battle, each war that we're to face. And Lord, that you have a plan that will not enter into any war unprepared. And I thank you for the wilderness that's prepared us for the wars that we face. Bless now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Certainly, in my years of being a pastor, in my years of being a Christian, I've seen war. I've seen a lot of wars. I've seen the attack of Satan in many ways. I've seen church splits. I've seen people do very strange things. I've seen war. But I've always seen war when I could handle the war. I've not faced a war, at least I don't think I faced a war that I wasn't able to handle, because God prepared me for that war. And God, in the preparation for the war, he had to put me in a wilderness. There are folks all over this auditorium that are battle-tested. You've seen war, and you fought some wars, and you've been in some big wars. And, I mean, you fought the devil. You fought all kinds of battles. But Lord willing, you never entered a war that you weren't prepared to fight that war. But understand that before you fight that war and before you go through that battle, God says, I'm going to send you through the wilderness. And if you'll study Scripture, you'll see that God always prepares us for whatever it is we're going to face, if we'll just let him. Because the problem is, if they see war before they're prepared for the war, then they'll turn back. And God said, that's why I'm going to send them through the wilderness before they go through the land of the Philistines, before they see war. The children of Israel were just out of Egypt, and they'd already been taught some things. They had already learned some doctrine. They learned about the Passover and what all took place, and they learned to observe the Passover because God had delivered them on that Passover, and they learned what it was all about, and they learned, as we learn doctrine when we have the Lord's Supper, as we learn doctrine through our Bible school and through our Sunday school classes, the people had learned some doctrine. They had been taught some things. But now God says, I want to lead you through a wilderness, because if you see war, you're not ready for that war yet. I've got some battles you're ready to fight, but you're not ready to fight that battle yet. God said before you fight that battle, he said, I'm going to lead you through the wilderness. And as you go through the wilderness, I'm going to teach you all that time. I'm going to help you to learn the truth. I'm going to help you to learn some things that will help you to fight the battles you're going to fight against the Philistines. Boy, I'm so glad God leads. I'm so glad for God's guidance. Thank the Lord. You ought to thank God tonight that he is a loving God, and he's a God that will guide us. He will lead us as the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God will order our steps, but I fear for those who, because we don't like the wilderness, will miss out on what he has for us and go right into the war. When they see war. The war, really just three things tonight I want to show you. The war, the wilderness, and the war without the wilderness. Number one is the war. The war just out of Egypt. God didn't send them to the land of the Philistines because it would be inevitable there would be a war. And by the way, we'll see a lot of wars. Christian life is full of wars. Christian life is a war. But each war has its time. Each battle has its time. And every war has a different level, a different different scales of war and battles that we fight. Some are huge, some are devastating, but God prepares us for those. Some are not so big, but God prepared us for those as well. We battle constantly with sin. We battle constantly with self. We battle constantly with Satan. And these battles take place. But again, there is no war until you're ready. There is no battle until you can handle it. There had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. He'll never allow a battle, a war in your life you're not ready to handle, if you'll just go through the wilderness and get trained. If you'll just let him lead you through the wilderness. Bless God, I'm ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. Well, listen to me. Be willing to let God lead you through a wilderness before you charge hell with a squirt gun. And understand that hell's going to fight back. Amen. And the devil's going to fight back. And you better be trained and ready. And sometimes that means going through a wilderness. Sometimes that means going through a trial. The war is inevitable, and every war is going to be fought. And you know, thank God for God leading us and preparing us so we can handle the war. He does that with churches. He does that with individual Christians. He does that with ministries. He allows a wilderness. He does it with missionaries. He allows a wilderness in our lives and plans that wilderness. Hey, come on, they're going to go to the wilderness of the Red Sea, and it's going to be tough. There's going to be some battles within that, but God is in control the whole time, and God's preparing them, because one of these days they're going to face the Philistines. One of these days they're going to face a huge battle in their life. You know, it's amazing how we think, boy, this is gigantic in my life right now, but guess what? There's something bigger coming. God's going to have to put you in the wilderness some. God has to train us. God has to teach us. Hey, he has to show us some things so we can handle the battles. I remember when we started our church in Indiana, and it was funny how I had all these notes of trouble. You know, when you go to college, they give you a whole section of notes on when trouble comes. And it was amazing. When we started our church, there just wasn't any trouble. There wasn't any battles. There weren't any. Everybody loved everybody, and everybody was happy, and everybody was excited. It was a new church, so we had from the beginning we had financial problems. From the beginning, we found the wilderness of being broke. Amen. I mean, we had to buy everything. We had to buy every chair. We had to buy every bus. We had to buy our songbooks. We had to buy all those things, and so we had the wilderness of financial problems. But we didn't have any real wars. And it was amazing how we went through the wilderness just exactly how God planned. And he taught us, and we grew, and we loved one another. And then came war. But we were ready for the war because we went through the wilderness. Oh, listen, the war is inevitable. The battles are inevitable. But understand, God is watching over everything you do, and you need the wilderness. You know, I, the zealous Christian, especially a young man, you know, bless God, I'm ready to go do this, and boy, I'm going to be the greatest this and the greatest that, and boy, you know, and God says, oh, wait a minute, slow down, son. You're going to have to go through the wilderness first. No, I don't want to go through the wilderness. Let me at those Philistines. I'll get them. And you know, it's not long, that guy is worldly, because he went back to Egypt, because he wasn't ready. Because when they see war and they're not prepared for war, they turn back. I've watched it over and over and over. Understand, the war is going to come. There's no question about it. The war always comes. Look, but understand God's timing. God's timing. Look at 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. Just to show you, you know, God's not afraid to talk about war. I know it's not politically correct nowadays. But for the Christian, and it's not ecclesiastically correct either. Because there are those in religious realms that would want you to think that everything's just fun and games if you're saved. Everything's just, you know, it's all easy, and it's just have fun and all these kind of things. I got news for you. They have not read the Bible that I read. They've not walked in the shoes I've walked. They don't have any clue. 1 Timothy 1:18, it says this. It says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. But he says, war a good warfare. The war is inevitable. If we're not in a war, why do we need armor in Ephesians chapter 6? Why would we need that helmet of salvation? Why would we need that breastplate of truth? Why would we need that girdle of truth? I'm sorry, breastplate of righteousness and girdle of truth. Why would we need our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Why would we need a shield of faith? Why would we need a sword, which is the word of God? Why, if there's not a war? Why is it called a sword? Why is it called a shield? Why is it called a breastplate? These are all instruments of war. And I got news for you. If you go into a war without your armor, you're in trouble. You know, I have found that I don't always need as big of a shield, depending on the battle. I have found that, every war is not the same. But I know this. I know that wilderness, that's where I get that shield, and it gets stronger and stronger depending on what I need it for. It's how that, you know, I get a little closer to that sword through the wilderness. Amen. I get a little bit more reliant on that breastplate of righteousness as I go through that wilderness. I'm telling you, if you go to the war without the wilderness, you're going to probably turn out worldly. You're going to go back to Egypt. You're going to go back to that old life. Number one is the war. Number two is the wilderness. The wilderness. God chose this for them. I love that. There is no question about it. No question. God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Hey, they could have all said, hey, God, listen, why are we going this? We should be going through this land. We should be going here. We want to go through the land of the Philistines. It's closer. God said, I'm not leading you that way. He said, there's war that way. I've got something else for you. God says, I want to part the Red Sea for you. I want to show you what I can do. I want to show you who I am. And don't go that way. You go the way I tell you to go. You know what gets us in trouble most of the time is we don't let God lead us. And nobody wants to go to the wilderness. I mean, come on. I made it through the wilderness. I got a trophy. You don't get trophies for making it through the wilderness. You get trophies for winning wars, right? Yeah, you don't get accolades for making it through the wilderness. You get accolades because you won the war. There's not a lot of glory going through the wilderness because not many people know what's going on when you go through the wilderness. There's not many people around to cheer you on when you go through the wilderness. Bless God, you win a war. Everybody says, hooray, they won the war. But out there in the wilderness, you get victory after victory after victory, but nobody knows. You're just out in the wilderness. But all that time you're in the wilderness, you're learning how to use that sword. And all that time in the wilderness, you're learning how to wear that armor. And all that time in the wilderness, like David, you're learning how to trust in that armor and how to trust in the Lord who gave you the armor. And you're learning valuable things so you can fight that war. I know it's not glorious. I know it's not fun. You know, preparation never is fun. It never is. You know, I think about the group here that practices and the little orchestra here. And to be honest, I mean, I used to play in the band, and I hated practice. I never liked to practice. That wasn't any fun. I remember playing football, and I hated practice. I know in sports, you know, you have to practice, and you don't like that. I don't want to prepare. I just want to go out and do it. Well, if you don't prepare, you're not going to do it very well. You know, and I think about young people, you know, that take piano lessons and they don't like to practice. Now, some do. Praise God for that. But many, you know, you hear, oh, no, I have to practice again. Yeah, you have to practice. And you have to go through the wilderness, too. You know, it's like a guy, well, bless God, God's called me to preach. Well, where are you going to Bible college? Well, bless God, I'm just going to go out there and tear it up. Yeah, you're going to tear something up, all right. You go train and you go out in the wilderness and you learn what you need to learn and you get what God has for you and you grow in the Lord so you can fight all the wars that God leads you to. Amen. Amen. It's a time and a place of preparation. Moses, 40 years. 40 years. You say, boy, you know, you talk about going to college, and I'm thinking it might take me 4 years. Yeah, Moses was 40 years. Amen. Paul in the desert, it's boot camp. You know, it's so he can fight the war. It's to get him ready for the war. You know, maybe the financial problem you're going through right now is a wilderness getting you ready for the war you're gonna fight. Maybe the other need that you have right now, maybe the health problem you have now, that's just a little wilderness that God's letting you go through so you learn who He is. And so that you get that armor and you get used to that armor and you prove that armor. It's learning doctrine. It's learning to trust God. It's faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's learning how to pray. You know, if it's not for Bible college, I don't have a clue how to pray. You say, you mean they taught you how to pray in Bible college? They didn't have to teach me. I had to pray. No pray, no eat. I'm serious. By the way, that's the best praying in all the world. It really is. Best praying is when you have to pray. When it's just, you know there's a need. Because if you're just ritualistic, then your prayer life is going to be ritualistic, and the answers are going to be ritualistically nothing. You know, yeah, every time I eat, good food, good meat, good Lord, let's eat. You know, well, I got news for you. You're probably not going to get a whole lot from God. But when you weep, and you're on your knees and on your face and you're begging God because you're in a wilderness and you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, you learn how to pray. You learn how to pray. Boy, it's crucial. Trials. The trials we go through, they're crucial for us. We need them. We need them. It's where God prepares us. Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days. Then came the devil. Are you listening? Fasting, 40 days, 40 nights. Then the devil comes and tempted him. Training. You can't do much without training. I remember I went to RCA and they put me on a banding machine. We had to put these bands around picture tubes. And they tightened it down real tight on that thing, and you had to know what you were doing. You know, I mean, or glass flies everywhere. You had to know what you were doing. I could have said, hey, wait a minute. My dad is a supervisor at RCA. He's been a supervisor here for over 20 years. I think I can do this. I could have banded myself. They said, no, you will go through training. And so we had to go through training and had to learn how to do that thing. I had to go through training to paint that little doodad on the little picture panels of the picture tubes that I've mentioned before. Had to go through training to do that right. Had to go through training. I did final inspection of the inside of the picture tube. That stuff's called, what is that called? Slurry. And they put that on there, and it makes little dots on there, and you had to learn how to read. I had to be trained to do that. I could have said, hey, I've watched TV ever since I was a child. I can do this. But it wasn't like that. They had to train me. They had to train me. You know, anything you do, you get a job, they're going to train you. Anything that you do, you have to be trained to do it. And why do we think that God is not going to train us before He puts us in a battle? No. That's that wilderness. That wilderness. You know, David fought a lion and a bear before he took on Goliath. What was that? Training in the wilderness. Oh, you say a lion, that's pretty tough. Yeah, a bear's pretty tough too. But neither of them were as tough as Goliath. Amen. We don't like the wilderness though. And that's really what the message is about, because we don't like the wilderness. And we don't appreciate the wilderness. I mean, let's be honest. The wilderness is not always convenient. I mean, look what it says. God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. That was near. That would have been the more convenient thing. The wilderness isn't always convenient. The wilderness isn't usually fun, and as I've already mentioned, it's not very glorious. But it is what we need. It is what we have to have. Bible says about a pastor, says he's not to be a novice. What's that mean? That means he's got to go through the wilderness. He's got to go through the wilderness. Novice there is not talking about just knowing the Bible. It's talking about knowing him and having a relationship with him. And you get that in the wilderness. You see, we don't like that. It's just not the most fun thing. It's like Abigail going to Bible college. That wasn't convenient. That wasn't in her schedule. But it was God's will. And I remember when she came and we talked about it. And she said, this is God's will for my life. And now, you say Bible college is a wilderness? Well, to a lot of you it is. And it might have been to her. I don't know. I know for me it was a wilderness where God taught me things I never would have learned anywhere else. There's no way. And again, it's not always convenient to go in the wilderness. It's not always convenient to wait to fight the battle. And yet God said, I want you to go through the wilderness. You know, not just prayer, but knowing how to get a hold of God. Not just the ritual of prayer, but being able to talk to God and to get God's attention and to have God answer your prayers. And to know that God's listening when you pray. And to pray and there's food. And to pray and there's money. And to pray and the bill's paid. It's not just faith. It's having to exercise your faith. Just like lifting weights will build your muscles. Exercising your faith. It's not just, okay, I have faith. No, it's, okay, now my faith is being tested. Now I have to trust God. Why? Because in a war, you're going to have to trust God. Because in a war, you're going to have to pray. Because in a war, you're going to have to know how to get a hold of God and listen to God and let Him lead. Not just I'm saved, but I know that I'm saved. Sometimes you have to go through the wilderness to get that nailed down. Amen. Not just blessings, but trials and recognizing the blessing in the trial. You see, God had them learn that God would come as a pillar of a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. They had to see that. You know, I'm sure there were several who said, oh, I can yield a sword and I'll take on the Philistines. God said, no. You need to see me. You need to see that pillar of a cloud. You need to see that pillar of a fire before you ever think you're going to go fight the Philistines. Amen. Yeah, we need all of it. We need to learn how much God loves us. We need to learn how we deserve nothing. We need to love Him and we need to learn to be willing to do anything. And that comes in the wilderness. And that's when you learn those things, you're ready for war. That's when you realize, look at Exodus 14, verse 13. Here's what they had to learn. Exodus 14, 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you. And ye shall hold your peace. Well, how involved were the children of Israel when they met the Egyptians at the Red Sea? They weren't. What'd they do? They watched. What do you mean? They just watched. Well, you know the story. They're trapped. The Egyptians are coming. They had to wonder, well, God's trying to keep us out of war, but instead He put us in this wilderness, and now we're all going to die. You say, you think they really thought that? Verse 11, they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? We're going to die in the wilderness. You didn't want us to fight a war. God said, you know, you're not going to fight a war. Just shutteth upeth and watcheth. You know, one of the great things about a wilderness, most of the time, that's what you do. You just watch what God can do. You just see what God does. You just realize God can do anything. You learn it. The pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, and the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And sure enough, God parts the Red Sea. Boom! They walk across on dry ground, and then they all turn and they watch. What do you suppose God's going to do? I don't know, but here come the bad guys. Yeah, and they got their chariots too, and they're right in the middle of where we just came from. Look at them. Man, they are moving fast. They weren't moving fast enough, though. And all they did, God's people, they just watched. Some of them, I think, watched trembling. I've watched trembling a few times. We're going to die. And all of a sudden, the sea comes in and wipes out Pharaoh's army for good. Yeah. Isn't that something? So did they learn anything? I mean, did they learn what they were supposed to learn? Look at chapter 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Oh, they learned it, didn't they? Yeah, they learned it all right. Just exactly what they needed to learn there in the wilderness by the Red Sea. They learned. The Lord, he's a man of war. He can handle it. They did nothing. We've seen the war, we've seen the wilderness. Number three, the war without the wilderness. The war without the wilderness. And that's the sad thing, and we watch it happen all the time. He says in verse 17, God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war. Why would they repent when they see? Because they're not ready. You say, well, they saw Pharaoh. That wasn't a war. That was a drowning. No, they saw who the king is in the war. They learned who God was. They didn't do anything. They just watched and learned. And God said, because you will turn back. You will turn back if you enter a war that you're not ready to fight without being trained to fight it. Exodus 14 and verse 10. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and then we read the rest. Verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And they're already thinking about turning back. See it? Had they gone to fight the Philistines, they would have turned back. First time they saw some of their people killed, they'd have turned back. God said, you're not ready for that war. I wrote down this little equation. War without wilderness equals worldly. War without wilderness equals worldly. Because God said they'd return to their old ways. They'd go back to Egypt. They'd go back. If you see war before you're ready for war, you go back. And that's how it is nowadays so much. We see it all the time. That's why there's so many worldly Christians today. Hello? People that have been unprepared that got in a battle they weren't ready to get in a battle for. Well, why didn't they go through the wilderness? Because they didn't like the wilderness. Because they didn't want the wilderness. They didn't want the training. They didn't want the preparation. But they got in a war and they lost and they became worldly. In Numbers chapter 14, when God's people were to enter the promised land, and the Bible says in Hebrews 11, they could not enter in because of unbelief. Go to Numbers chapter 14, verse 40. Let me read this. Numbers 14, verse 40. It's a good passage. Numbers 14, 40. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and will go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. Now, God, you know, their idea was, hey, we don't want to go into the land. There's enemy there. We're afraid. We don't want to go into that land. And they saw that there would be war, and they saw that there would be trial, and they saw that there would be and they didn't believe God, and they didn't trust God. So now God says, okay, you need to go back in the wilderness. Why? You just need more training. You need more training so that you have the faith to step forward and trust me. They said, oh, no. We don't want to go back in the wilderness. So they said, we'll just go ahead and fight this war our way. And that's what they're saying in verse 40. We'll go up. Verse 41, Moses said, Wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you. Ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. And therefore the Lord will not be with you, but they presume to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. And then the Amalekites came down, the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them even unto Hormah. They weren't prepared. Later on, Korah, Dathan, Abiram rebelled against the things of God. And again, they wanted to go back to Egypt. Worldly. I don't know how many people that I've watched, they get saved and they're ready to do great things for God. And before they get training, they go start a Christian rock group. Hello. Before they get training, they go out and blaze a trail of evangelism. Or maybe they have a real charismatic personality and they go out and, boy, people take them right in. But they've never been trained. Remember John Todd? How many know that name? Long ago, goes way back. Boy, he was a blaze of fire. Yeah. Boy, God's going to use, but he never got trained. And he got messed up big time. Most of your Christian rockers, same thing. They never got training. That's why so many won't put on a website what they believe. They won't. You call them and ask, what do you believe? They won't even tell you. Well, why is that? Well, sometimes it's because it's not politically correct, but another reason is they don't know. They just didn't know. I think about, you know, some of the big names from the past, Amy Grant. Did God give her a good voice? Of course he did. Beautiful voice. But she just took off. Boy, making millions. Everybody says, hey, we need to buy her records. You remember records. And what happened to her? Well, I guess she's a rocker now. Divorce? Tragedy? It's trying to fight a war and not getting prepared for the battle. It's trying to fight. It's like a young person here. I'm ready to do great things for God. You're not until God says you are. That's why I always recommend a year of Bible college. Always. Just automatic. Why? To get you. That's why there's so many worldlings running around. They just didn't get the wilderness they needed. They didn't get the on their knees begging God. They didn't get the time in the valley when you're not sure what's going to happen tomorrow and you're terrified. They didn't get that. They didn't get the, God, I've got, you know, like I preached this morning, God, I need a promise. Please, God, give me a promise. Show me something, God, that I can hold on to. Something that'll change my life. Something that'll get me through this thing. Amen. And they didn't get that. And so now they're, well, tonight they're not in church. So many. It's because they went to war without the wilderness. A couple thoughts and I'm done. First of all, worldly aren't in wars. Worldly Christians are not in wars. You say, what are you talking about? It's why they became worldly. They changed to avoid the war. You know where war begins? Soul winning. You know where war begins? Bus ministry. You know where the war begins? Fair ministry. The one lawsuit for this church. Fair ministry. I've read it. You know where war begins? Prison ministry. You know where war begins? Christian school. You know where the battle is? Preaching. The fairness doctrine. What's that all about? It's a war against preaching. Well, the conservatives all pretty much think it's because of their speaking, and I suppose on the surface it is, but I'm telling you, the devil's after preaching. And preaching out against abortion. I mean, I don't remember who said something to me about it, but I'll be honest with you, 150 chihuahuas dying, I mean, that is bad. It's a sad thing. But it is nothing, not even close, to how many little babies were slaughtered last week. Boy, we're in an uproar over chihuahuas. You know, again, I'm not saying that's a right thing. I'm just saying, but there are those that will be ready to come in and arrest me for what I just now said. But you see, the worldly people, and I'm finding out more and more that more and more Christians are going along with the worldly agenda and saying, well, we agree with them. We'll sign off on this legislation. We'll sign off on a fairness doctrine. Why would they do that? Because they don't say anything anyway. They quit saying anything when they knew it would bring war. And so they went to Egypt. That's what happens when you see war and you're scared of it. That's what happens when you see war and you don't want it. That's what happens when you see war and you say, you know what, I'm not ready for this, and I'll just go back to Egypt. Well, this is a preacher that's not going back to Egypt. And you better decide whether you are or not either. You better go through the wilderness as God wants you to. You better be ready for a wilderness. You better be ready. Hey, these are hard times. It's a wilderness. There's a war raging. I'm convinced most Christians haven't even thought about God bless America since about 6 months after the Twin Towers went down. Boy, everybody thought about it right after that, didn't they? You know what that was? That was a wilderness. They can get on our land. They can kill us in our own country. Oh, and they're coming, folks. They're coming real fast. But you see, worldly, they're not in wars. They're just doing their thing with the rest of the world. And we just keep taking a stand against it. Yeah. But another thing about the worldly, Christians, they're immature. I'm not talking about a new convert. I'm talking about a convert that should know better. They just never grew. Just never grew. Just never went through that wilderness. And I guarantee there, you're sitting here and you're ready to, hey, I don't want to go through a wilderness. I don't want these tough times. I don't want this. I'm going to do whatever. And you're going to end up compromising to try to avoid a trial that God wants you to go through. so that you can beg him, so you can plead with him, so you can get to know him, so you can know his promise, so you can grab hold of something to take into the war. Again, I'm not talking about a new convert. I'm talking about people that know better. People that should, you know, I know what I need and I know what God wants me to have. Boy, a lot of people, they see the wilderness in the church, or they see maybe the war getting raging, and well, we'll just take off. You know, church hopping is never the answer. Church hopping is never the answer. Well, I don't want to go through discomfort. Hey, you might need some discomfort. God may have some discomfort for you so that you don't become a worldling. Well, you know, times are tough. Yeah, so compromise. That's never the answer. Never. I want to remind you, and again, I'm starting to get away from notes, and that always gets me in trouble. But I want to remind you of people in the Bible. And there was a fellow named Elimelech and his wife Naomi. And because they didn't have any jobs, they took off. And they went to a place called Moab. And he started working at the government motors of Moab. And I want to tell you, when Naomi went home, minus him, minus two sons who died there in Moab, the Bible says she was bitter. You say, well, we just have to go. No, what you have to do is you have to do what God wants you to do. You don't have to do anything else but what God wants you to do. Every young person comes to me and says, Pastor, I want to talk to you about Bible college, and this is what I'm going to do. And I always say to them, what does God want you to do? Or is that what God wants you to do? I don't say that to hear myself talk. I say that to see, is that really what God wants you to do? I'm not interested in what you feel, what you think, what everybody else says. I want to know, what did God tell you to do? Well, I don't know. Then find out. Then you best find out. And if finding out means going through a wilderness, bless God, go through the wilderness. You and I, every one of us should be able to say, this is what God wants me to do. Every one of us. You should not have any question. Your job, what you're doing, you should be able to say, this is what God wants me to do. And it has nothing to do with circumstances, pleasure, nearness, far. What, it has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do, well, I'm in a valley right now. Is that God's will? Are you in God's will? I am. Then praise God and shout all the way through the valley. Amen. I'm just saying this. God has a wilderness and God has a war. And His timing is always perfect. And you might just need the wilderness today. Young person, you might just need this wilderness. You say, I just don't understand. Preacher, I'm ready to quit. Do not quit. Whatever you do, you cannot quit. Just go through the wilderness. Learn to get a hold of God and let Him get a hold of you. And I'm telling you, then you're ready to fight the Philistines. War or wilderness? First the wilderness, then the war, and then you win the victory that God wants you to win. Do not turn back to Egypt. And if it means going through a little longer wilderness, then go through the wilderness. Let Him train you, let Him teach you, let Him prepare you for the war. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking, no one's talking. How many tonight would say,